This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us on this summer day, summer weekend, and everything else. It's been warm, but we got some warm topics to discuss, and we're talking to John Palguda. He's the Vice President of Policy at the Partnership for Public Service, and he's always been a friend of Fed Access and always has some good information to share. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple different things. We're going to talk about telework. We're going to talk about the federal internship program, the Pathways program. And then John did some testimony up on the Hill, and we're going to talk about that testimony that he did when it comes to federal workforce and everything else. John, welcome to Fed Access.
Thank you, Derek. Thanks for having me.
Hey, in terms of the Pathways program, kind of an anticipated dynamic of what was going to happen with the Pathways program. One, I mean, what was announced? And then two, you know, from the partnership standpoint, I mean, how do you guys feel about that?
Well, Derek, we feel pretty good about this. I think this is going to be the new Pathways program can be a real game changer. In terms of providing a management tool for federal agencies and managers to have access to some great talent, particularly from the colleges and universities. So, and it's pertinent to talk about that right now because although OPM issued the regulations, and they've been long time coming, they issued the regulations a month or two ago, but they were not effective until yesterday, July 10. So they're now in effect, and you might recall, or of course some of your listeners might not be aware, there's three components of the Pathways program.
Yeah, break it down, John, because I don't think everybody completely knows, you know, how the Pathways, I mean, people have heard about it, but I don't think people really completely know how it works.
Well, the just a tad bit of history, over a year ago, there was a hiring program or authority called the Federal Career Intern Program Authority that agencies were heavily using to target their recruiting, particularly to college campuses. But there were some allegations that the way it was being used was not in keeping with veterans' preference and some other considerations, so it was abolished. But that meant that, you know, agencies were going to have a more difficult time to reach out to that portion of the talent pool on our college campuses and recent graduates. And the president issued an executive order, actually way back in December of 2010, an executive order called the Pathway Programs to create a new a new management tool, if you will, to allow agencies to reach that talent. There was a lot of interest, a lot of back and forth. It was open for public comment, tons of comments.
Sure.
As I said, the Office of Personnel Management finally issued implementing regulations in May, which were effective, as I said, yesterday. Three main components, Derek. First, you know, for the federal listeners, some of them may know that or recall that there were two student intern programs in place. One was called the Student Temporary Experience Program, or STEP program. Another was the Student Career Experience Program, or SCEP program. The SCEP hires could, after they put in, about 640 hours on average, had the potential of being converted to permanent employment at the agency option after graduation. The STEP program did not allow that conversion. What they've done in the Pathways program on this one-third of the three components. They've combined those two internship programs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, agencies can recruit student interns from any university, bring them on board, see how they do on the job, monitor the hours that they've worked. You know, they oftentimes they work during the summer, maybe part-time during the school year. When they reach 640 hours, or if they're really an outstanding employee getting outstanding ratings, it could be as little as 320 hours, the agency has the option to offer a permanent employment to those interns, convert them non-competitively, basically, because they've already competed by showing their abilities on the job. And I think that's a great pipeline, both for the students and for the agency. So that's one third.
Well, you know, that makes the internship program as a path, this kind of goes to the name pathway, but as a pathway to federal employment, it makes it even more important, it seems.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we here at the Partnership for Public Service, we've been big advocates encouraging agencies to make better use of student internships. In the private sector, there are many companies that use internships as a primary vehicle for hiring new entry-level talent, and on average, over half of the people they bring on as interns will end up as a permanent employee. In the government, if you look at both types of internships that we've been using, the SCEP and the STEP, it was less than 10%.
Wow.
I think that we're going to see a change there, because I said this is game-changing, these regulations. I think eventually we're going to see greater use of student internships. I think as students understand that this is an option, you're going to have more interest among students in seeking internships. And if agencies are smart, and most of them are, I believe, they will be looking for the best of those interns to convert to their entry-level positions.
Well, that means that we'll get some of the best and brightest coming out of the college sector. And there's always a concern, and you know this more than anybody, John, because you guys monitor this, is that when the market changes and then the private sector starts increasing their hiring, there's always a concern that the federal government is not getting the best and brightest in their ranks, coming out of college. So
absolutely,
hopefully this will, like you said, be a game changer to continue to recruit some of those best and brightest and maybe have internship programs that are equal to a Goldman Sachs or to a Google or other mainstream companies.
Absolutely. So so we're very excited about that. Now the Pathways programs, the Office of Personnel Management is incorporating the Presidential Management Fellows Program, which has been around for over 30 years. But they're beefing it up, if you will. There'd been criticism. The Presidential Management Fellows Program is geared towards people with graduate degrees, masters or higher.
Sure.
It's been a very prestigious premier hiring program, bringing in, on average recently, between 400 to 600 new hires a year. It had been criticized recently for losing its focus on particularly on the assessment part, figuring out which of all the 10,000 applicants they get, which are the best potential fellows. And what OPM has done is two things. One, it used to require that in order to apply to be a Presidential Management Fellow, you had to be nominated by your college or university. OPM has dropped that requirement. So any student now who's interested can apply.
Wow, that's excellent. It really cuts down the barriers
That's absolutely true. Now that and presumably we're going to see an increase in applicants. But what OPM's done on the assessment side to manage that is they beefed up the assessment process.
And John, hold that right there. I want to take a quick break. I'm going to come right back. We're going to talk about the assessment process that OPM is talking about with the Presidential Management Fellows Program. We're talking to John Palguda. He is the Vice President of Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. We're talking about what's going on with the Pathways Program. We're going to also talk about what's going on with telework and also talk about his testimony that was going on the Hill and the great things he had to say and the insightful things he had to say to the members of Congress. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about what's going on with the Pathways Program. Recent announcement, Pathways Program changed some of the federal kind of internship program, a federal student hiring and everything else, the federal career internship programs and other things like that. It kind of changed the dynamics and changed the way they were run. And hopefully it's going to be a lot more effective. We're talking about this with John Palguda. He's the vice president of policy. I'm sorry, John, the vice president of policy at the Partnership for Public Service. And he knows what's going on with this process. He's not only the VP there, but he's a former Fed. And he knows about the transition of this Pathways program. John, you were talking about the assessment from OPM. What's going on with that, with the Presidential Management Fellowship?
Well, the Presidential Management Fellows program, it had over time kind of devolved to a simple, what the psychometricians call a biodata test, if you will, where you go online and you answer questions about your background, and then the psychologist figured out that, well, people with certain common elements in their background tend to make good hires. But it was very dissatisfying for applicants because you filled out this information about yourself, and then you got a notice after a while saying, yes, you're going to be a finalist, no, you're not. And it was like, it didn't have face validity. And there were questions about, was it really identifying the best? So what OPM has done is they've made the assessment process two parts. One, you go online and you'll be able to apply, and then you'll be asked to do an essay, not skills, knowledge, and ability essay, not the old KSA stuff, but an essay about maybe several different essay questions. Why do you want to work in government? What's your public service motivation, for example? What career fields are you interested in? Why? That sort of thing. More like when you're applying for college and you do an essay about why you want to attend this particular college or this field of study. And then they're going to have real people. It's not going to be computer screened. Real people. OPM will get volunteers, experienced folks from the agencies to serve on these panels, and they'll look at the read the answers, look at other information, and they'll determine which of all the applicants go to a stage two. For those who are going to go to stage two, they're going to have a real in-person interview at selected locations around the country. It will be a structured interview with trained interviews, again, drawing from the different agencies. Going through scenarios, they'll have federal employees who are role-playing different situations and asking the people to react. I'm assuming it's going to be a group interview, which is what they used to do. And then those real people assessing these applicants, hearing their responses, getting a sense of their motivation, their interest, their ability to be a successful representative of the federal government.
So we're almost talking about
the finals.
We're almost talking about a Presidential Management Fellow, almost kind of selection group. I mean, that's going to come from various agencies, and this is going to be across the board in all agencies where this is going to be implemented. Is that right, John?
That is correct. Any agency who wants to hire, this will be managed by the Office of Personnel Management. Any agency who wants to hire a Presidential Management Fellow, pays a fee to offset OPM's expenses in running this process. They pay a fee per each Presidential Management Fellow they hire, and a win-win situation. OPM is able to operate this program. Agencies get terrific hires. So this is a this is another part of the Pathways program.
You know, this is a quick question, John. Being a former Fed, do you think that the cost of the PMF program versus maybe the cost of the more the Pathways more internship program, do you think that that will kind of hold people back or hold some agencies back from participating in the PMF program, or do you think that, you know, they'll still, I mean, you've gotten some great PMFs and who've become great federal workers. Do you think that there's any kind of drawback, especially with budgets being really, really tight at federal agencies?
Well, that's going to be a wait and see situation. Now, OPM already has indications from agencies that at least for the next go around, they anticipate hiring over 600 fellows, which will be, on par with some of the high points. This was not a hiring program to bring in thousands of people. It was a program targeted to bringing in a relatively small number of graduate students and people with professional degrees to be future leaders and future managers. It's a 2-year program too, with structured training during that first 2 years and the ability but not the guarantee of conversion to permanent employment. So right now it looks like agencies will be able to pay the fees to make use of the program. It's an investment in great talent. Of course, down the road, if agencies continue to be squeezed budgetarily, we may see that they're unable to invest as much as they would like.
And the difference between PMF and the difference between, because even with the Pathways internship program, they can still bring on graduate students. Is that correct? I mean, that's they can still bring on both undergraduate, high school undergraduate and graduate students with the internship program. The PMF distinction is what, John?
The PMF distinction is that it's really targeted towards individuals, finding students, graduate students, who show the potential to be, in essence, future leaders,
okay,
future managers.
So we're talking about people who are going to rise up the ranks.
A great policy analyst or a great HR person, but, as a presidential management fellow, someone who has a future leadership potential.
So we're talking about definitely people who can possibly be SES, future SES, future GS-15s, people who are going to be future supervisors and leaders of agencies or departments and everything else. That's what the PMF does.
Sure. And you think about, some people will remember Sean O'Keefe, who was a former head of NASA and also worked at OMB in defense. Very, very exceptional leader. He started as a presidential management intern.
Okay.
So it's that kind of person.
Got you.
But now there's the third part of this program which I think is new, and this is kind of really the answer to the loss of the Federal Career Intern Program.
And John, hold that thought right there, because I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the third piece right now. We're going to keep people in suspense real quick.
Okay.
We're going to talk about it real quick when you come back. We're talking to John Palguda. He is a vice president of policy at the Partnership for Public Service. They cover, and you can find their site at ourpublicservice.org. That's right, John, ourpublicservice.org. Is
That's
that correct?
Correct.
You can find their site at ourpublicservice.org. They've got all this information that John is talking about the Pathways program, about a number of other federal programs as well. We're going to keep on talking about Pathways and talk about telework and a couple other things that's going on in the federal government when we come back. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey. This is Amtower, host of Amtower Off Center. Start your week off with a dose of reality, Amtower style, Monday afternoons at noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you want to know what it takes to do business with the federal government, my show is required listening. I've been around the block, and I call it like I see it. That's Amtower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about the Pathways Program, and we're talking about it with John Palguda. He is the Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. You can find their website at ourpublicservice.org. They've got a lot of great information about what's going on in federal government, about how to get into federal government, about best places to work, and a number of other things that you can really take advantage of if you're looking at a federal job or if you're an actual federal worker and looking to possibly get some training or other things or looking for a new job within the federal government. John, we were talking about the Pathways Program, and we've gone through the first steps about the kind of the internship program, the Presidential Management Fellowship Program, and now part three. What's part three, John?
Part three is called the Recent Graduates Program. And basically what this does is allow agencies to target their recruitment towards that part of the talent pool out there who are recent college graduates or about to be a recent college graduate. You know, say they're in their senior year looking for a job after graduation. The way it is now without this program is that, you know, agencies post their jobs, but anybody in the world who believes that they're qualified gets to apply, and agencies get overwhelmed and it's hard for them to balance their hiring, to make sure they have diversity in terms of recent grads, experienced people, diversity in terms of experiences and so on. This will allow agencies to, do an assessment of their needs, and when they decide that they need to, particularly target for entry-level positions, perhaps, or even positions at higher grades where, say, a master's or a PhD might qualify, they'll still post the job, and everybody gets to see the jobs out there, public notice. But to qualify, when they're using this part of the program, you have to have graduated within the last 2 years. If you're a recently discharged veteran, that time frame may be extended because you may have gone into service after graduation. Now you're coming out, so you have 6 years if you're a vet. But that means that agencies can take a portion of their hiring needs and say, okay, for these kinds of jobs, we need folks who are just coming out of school or have recently come out of school, and they hire these folks on a initial 1 year appointment. It's accepted appointment under the Pathways Program. At the end of 1 year, they're kind of, seeing how they do. Think of it as a kind of a probationary period. They can offer them convert them non-competitively to a permanent job. And then I should also point out, for all of these Pathways programs, all three of them, the interns, the Presidential Management Fellows, and the recent graduates, if you're a veteran, you still get veteran's preference.
Okay.
So if you're a veteran who's a recent graduate, you've got a real good chance at getting a job offer, depending on how many other veterans are applying.
Let me ask this question too, John, before you go on.
Sure.
Real quick. In terms of, internships can be paid, unpaid. Are all these internships, I know the Presidential Management Fellowship is paid. Are all these internships paid or are some unpaid? And does it matter in terms of if it's paid or unpaid in terms of the path to employment?
Under the Pathways programs, it's anticipated these will all be paid.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. There are some agencies that have the authority to bring in folks to intern on a unpaid basis. But those internships do not necessarily have this automatic conversion to permanent employment.
Okay, so they're not on the same competitive status as these internships.
That is correct. I mean, it still can be quite valuable to have an unpaid internship. You get to know people, you get to know the agency and all that. It's not the same as the hiring that will be done under the Pathways programs, it's the anticipation they're all paid positions. Certainly PMFs and recent graduates would be paid. The intern part of the Pathways program, I think the anticipation is they would all be paid. And they all three can convert to permanent employment. So it's a great approach. I said this is a game changer. The government hires about 100,000 folks a year on average, just to replace people who are leaving. And it's anticipated that the Pathways programs might account for initially 6 to 10%. Of the new hires.
Wow. Are we talking about, and I know it's impossible to tell, but are we talking about a salary that will go kind of across the board where we're talking about equivalent salaries for maybe a GS, five, sometimes they bring the interns in at a GS-5 level or certain things like that. I know the PMFs come in at a certain level and they can elevate to GS-11 very, very quickly if they get out the program. Is that what we're talking about possibly with the pay? Is that what we're looking at, John?
Well, yeah. At the so PMFs typically start at GS-9, which is in the DC area, is $51,000 a year. If you have an advanced degree, it can even be higher. PhD, you might get an offer at as a GS-11, $62,000 a year. At the recent graduates program, if it's an undergraduate, a bachelor's degree holder, probably starting at a 5 or 7, which is $34,000 a year. At a 5 in the DC area, $42,000 as a 7. For the intern programs, the interns come in all sizes and shapes, and they could even offer an internship to potentially a high school student, and they would start maybe at a grade 2.
Okay. Okay.
And it would be prorated because interns oftentimes don't work full time year round. They're working at certain times of the year or part time during the school year. So that could be, from a grade 2. But if it's somebody at the college level, again, it could be a grade 3, 4, or 5. So it will vary based on the person's qualifications. But as I said, Derek, these new pathway program regulations can be a real game changer. I think OPM's done an excellent job at weighing a lot of different considerations and a lot of different viewpoints and coming up with a set of regulations that I think can really be helpful both to agencies but also to applicants for federal employment.
John, what are we thinking about in terms of rollout? I mean, now that this is, this is now opened up, agencies can begin their programming. Are we hearing anything from agencies? Are they excited about this? I mean, OPM, sometimes put different things out, but are we also hearing the agencies being very, very excited about rolling this out within their agencies?
I think the answer is yes. So the agency folks that I've talked with were highly anticipating this. They're putting plans in place right now. One thing I did not mention is that every agency, before they start using this, they need to have a memo of understanding with OPM, just to explain to OPM how they plan to use it and anticipating giving OPM at least a rough guess as to how many hires. So there's some agencies already have that memo of understanding signed. NASA, I know, is one. They're anticipating substantial hiring under this program. OPM is going to be monitoring this closely. They want to make sure agencies are doing it by the books and that they're providing the veterans preference considerations, et cetera. But I think most of the other agencies, I'm told, Defense is getting its memo over to OPM soon and so on. So I think, this is any agency that has needs, hiring needs, that doesn't have this as one of the vehicles that they plan to use, certainly not exclusively, but one of the vehicles, if they're not in planning to do that, I think they're missing the boat. I think it's going to be well used.
This comes right on time for September. I mean, this is right on the perfect timing for August, September, when people are going to be looking for internship programs, coming up. And are all these internship programs for summer, or is fall, spring, or summer that these internships?
Year round. If it's the fall and spring, it's probably going to be coming in 1 or 2 days a week, or you know, some kind of a part-time schedule. If it's summer, a lot of the summer internships are full-time for whatever the summer break period is. So yeah, you're right. I mean, the internship part will, I'm sure, be used fairly soon. They'll start bringing some folks on. The recent graduates program, I think we'll see some hires early on, but I think agencies will start also, you have to plan in advance if you want to, have access to, say folks who are getting ready to graduate. But because the recent graduates program is anybody's graduated in the last 2 years, you don't have to, time it to the school cycle. You can say, hey, there's probably some great folks out there in this economy. They've graduated. They haven't found the right job yet. We might be able to, attract some of those folks. So I think we're going to start seeing some activity under this very soon.
We need to take a quick break, John. Got you for one last segment real quick. We'll talk about the telework, and we'll talk about your testimony if we get some time. We're talking to John Palguti. He is the Vice President of Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. He just gave us a great breakdown on the Pathways program. You can find out more information on it about on their website on ourpublicservice.org. I think it's one of the top ones on the front page, isn't it, John, that about the Pathways?
They can find information on our homepage. Also, opm.gov.
Okay.
Since OPM runs, wrote the regulations, you can also go to opm.gov and get lots of information.
Outstanding. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about some developments that's been going on in the federal government. The Pathways program is now open and ready to get started. That's going to be happening very, very soon. And now we got some stuff that's going on with telework. We're talking to John Palguta. He's the Vice President of Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. They monitor and also kind of help out and sometimes advise government on various programs. And John, what's going on with telework right now?
Well, the Office of Personnel Management just issued its 2012 Status of Telework in the Government report to Congress, and some very interesting things in there. And I can just hit a couple of highlights very quick here.
Yeah, please.
What they're finding now, there's been an emphasis on expanding telework in government for a while, and I think now they're really starting to focus on this from a perspective of, a teleworking arrangement can, of course, be of great value to an employee, but also an understanding that, teleworking should be a win-win situation in that it can be very helpful to the federal government, in terms of you can actually increase employee productivity, it helps with recruitment and retention, save space. You don't need as much building space if you're really into this, like, say, the Patent and Trademark Office. And there's also social benefits in terms of less congestion on the streets, less pollution, et cetera. And what they found, and so they're gathering more data. And although it's hard to track because the folks weren't keeping as good of a record in past years, all the indications are that there's been a substantial increase in the number of federal employees who telework. And in fact, they figured out, of course, not every position is telework feasible.
Sure.
Air traffic controller, a doctor, nurse in a VA hospital being three examples. But there's 684,000 federal employees who have been who are in positions that are considered to be telework eligible. And 144,000 of those employees actually have telework agreements, and some with pre-existing agreements. So almost 170,000 employees, federal
Wow.
employees, are in a telework arrangement. It varies from maybe 1 day a week to 3 days a week, perhaps more. And so that's one thing that the incidence of telework eligible employees who are teleworking is going up.
Okay, good, good, good. You know, it sounds as if because, you know, there's always been a pushback on telework, and the reason being is because people feel like they can't monitor somebody's work. But has there, I mean, I guess with the increase of technology, with other things that's happening, we're starting to see these increases, and we are starting to see the cost benefit in terms of also the benefit of employees having better employee satisfaction. Is that true?
That's true. In fact, in this OPM report that just came out in 2012, they draw from the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, not just on job satisfaction, but this I thought was a very interesting finding, Derek. They said they were able to compare teleworking employee responses with non-teleworking responses. Teleworkers were more likely to report that they know what's expected of them on the job and they feel as though they're being held accountable for achieving results. Teleworkers were more likely to think that than people who don't telework. So that's a very good finding in terms of if anything, if you do it right.
Right.
You should be able to see an increase in productivity.
Right.
The one barrier, well, there were several still barriers to increased participation, but a major barrier still are managers who don't feel comfortable managing teleworking employees.
Right.
They're used to walking down the hall and dropping in and all that. Now they have to manage. They've got to figure out, okay, we've got to plan our meetings. I've got to be very clear about work expectations and what I plan to see or what I expect to see from each employee.
That's more work, John. That's more work. That's more.
It is. This is not, teleworking is not to make the life of a manager easier.
Right.
It's to make an agency more effective and on a number of levels. So some encouraging signs there, there are some managers that just aren't going to buy into it.
Right.
And I think, either they'll eventually move on and we'll get managers who are more comfortable in this environment, or we'll just have to, try to bring reluctant managers along and give them the support and training they may need, to feel comfortable.
Are we seeing also an increase? You got some employees who have clearances and have to access cleared computers and things like that. And there was a push at one point in time to have SCIFs or sensitive compartmentalized areas that are a little bit more spread out, where a person can go in and access their work from more of a regional place closer to home. Are we still seeing that trend, or is that kind of pulled back a little bit?
Well, in terms of remote work locations, where working from your home computers just isn't going to cut it. I don't know that we're seeing an expansion there, but I know there, and this is talked about in this 2012 OPM report, Status of Telework. They're definitely taking a hard look at the technology, the IT aspects of this. Figuring out ways to provide secure access where possible. Still, I think providing remote locations. I don't think that my sense is we're not seeing growth in the remote location sites as much as other ways to use technology to provide security to whatever data is being accessed and so on. So, and frankly, I think, if they can get the technology part worked out, we'll see, even more teleworking. But right now, there are some folks that their jobs may allow teleworking, but the technology is not up to the task yet. And so that's still another barrier. But interesting stuff, if anybody, it's on the OPM website, opm.gov. 2012 Status of Telework in the Federal Government Report.
So, John, overall, and we're basically out of time, but overall, things are looking kind of quite positive as we're finishing out 2012. I know we're not finished with it yet, but as we're coming to the later half of 2012 and going into 2013, it seems like we got some bright spots ahead for government.
Yes, absolutely, Derek. And I think we need those bright spots because there's plenty of gloomy spots out there in terms of the budget, and we're in an election year, and so there's a lot of other, and there's going to be pressures to hold down wages and to do other things that are not bright spots from an employee's point of view. So the fact that we've got some things going on here that provide some good news, I think that's a welcome news and a nice balance in some otherwise less positive things going on.
Thank you so much, John, for your insight. We're talking to John Palguda. He is the Vice President for Policy, always providing great insight to Federal News Radio and the Fed Access. We just thank you so much for coming on Fed Access, John.
Thanks for having me, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.
Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.